Now, this week's NATO summit in The Hague was dominated by Donald Trump and pledges to spend increasing amounts of money on weapons. Running alongside it was the opposite, a youth peace summit with delegates from 43 countries sharing the same venue. They came up with a manifesto which will be delivered personally to the NATO Secretary General in the next few days. Adam Linton from Downpatrick was involved in the event.
Well, ultimately, we wanted to create a space where youth voices could be heard and we could explore topics related to peace and really kind of come at it from the angle of what does it mean to be a young person interested in peace building in the midst of this, yes, the huge historic summit. So we wanted to come together, run a couple workshops that had a different angle on what peace means and how to go about it, and then come together collaboratively and build a manifesto that would hopefully be delivered to NATO as well.
And what was in that manifesto, Adam?
The manifesto revolves around essentially the three workshops that we ran. I was the workshop lead for dialogue. We did one on law-based order and another on activism. So using kind of the workshops as a stimulus, we had the participants, about 120 young people from across the world. We had about 43 nationalities there, which was just amazing, come together and then develop these points. And then we went into a secondary process of putting them into a language that would be used within NATO and best kind of suited for a manifesto as well.
And what was at the heart of that manifesto? How would you pledge to essentially have a peaceful world?
Well, in essence, I think that's a really great question and a complicated one. And I suppose my interest is dialogue and asking questions rather than giving those answers. So I think, to me, at the manifesto is this call for clarity around information and creating spaces where we can have these conversations and make sure that voices that would be unheard are heard. But the manifesto is a big 18-point thing, with every point being substantial and meaningful. So it would be, I wouldn't want to summarise it in a way that wouldn't characterise it properly. It will be published as well. So
the process then, Adam, in terms of lobbyists, activism, and the one that you were focused on, dialogue, what can you give us a sense of what you mean when you talk about dialogue? We think we might understand it, but it's a very complicated process.
Well, it is and it isn't, in a way, because everyone's practicing dialogue every day of their life. And that's really my interest. And what I've learned from working here in community is that everyone is kind of an expert in dialogue, and it's really just kind of bringing it out and creating an experience where people are exercised and pushed to kind of different perspectives and a different way of looking at things, and then maybe kind of labeling what is coming out in the room there as well. So to me, dialogue is fundamentally a human exercise, and I'm really interested in that kind of grassroots development of it. So the workshop, while being really positive, is ultimately participant-led, and that's, to me, the real magic of it. The real energy comes from those who are willing to share their thoughts and feelings and kind of play some of the games that I brought to them, and they were just utterly fantastic. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better participant base. Really, really, really energetic.
And we have seen in our own experience here the importance of grassroots dialogue and community involvement, a bottom-up approach. But yet, when the moment comes to make the deal, it has to be made by the people at the top end. And in many cases, those people don't want to dialogue with each other, have no interest in it, don't care for it. They're enemies.
I suppose that's true in a way, but ultimately they do come together and they do have these discussions. And I think one of the most powerful aspects of the workshop was looking at these things that we take as a norm kind of within our representative democracies. These kind of systems we have in place seemingly don't function. And like you're saying, cause this kind of escalating conflict where there's no common ground met. So it's really addressing that, looking at it and going, well, how do we move into a space where we can solve these issues, where we're kind of creating forums and ways of interacting that are meaningful and collaborative and allow us to build off one another?
Given that the main summit in The Hague this past week involving the NATO leaders agreed to spend more money, billions, of dollars on weapons. Do you feel in a way that writing a peace manifesto is almost a complete contradiction to what's going on in the other room?
In some sense, I mean, ultimately, I imagine these leaders are not funding their militaries on the basis that they actively want to go into war. I think everyone wants to live in peace and no one wants to move to that space of conflict. And it's really important as youth, as the alternative voice, to say, here's a way that we think we should go and this is what the future looks like to us. So maybe that contrast makes it all the more important to say these things in that moment.
What do you think of the state of the world right now, Adam? You and your other colleagues who were at your youth summit, no one seems to be talking that much about peace. All the focus is on war right now. How worried are you and your colleagues about the state of the world at the moment?
It's a really interesting time where there seems, it's when you read the news, it's kind of this onslaught of kind of awful stories, and it can be really hard to imagine a future where we will achieve some sort of peace in our time and move to that. But I think while the conversations are dominated by conflict, that speaks far more for the need to mediate and resolve these issues. So while, yeah, there's this kind of sense of powerlessness and these decisions being made kind of way above you, when you're dropped down and in that immediate reality of the people around you and kind of positive, making space for them and them making space for you, is a really positive and hopeful experience. And it's a big reminder that these things aren't beyond us as people, as human beings within a society, that we are the fabric that makes up that society. And just being very intentional and trying to create peace, build peace, is all we can do. And I have found it to be a really rewarding and brilliant process. I've got a lot of hope.
Oh, well, that's great. And you were born post Good Friday Agreement. But has the conflict, which raged here for 30 years, has it had an impact on your life?
Well, definitely. Well, I'm interested in facilitation and mediation, and I often work in communities where that conflict is said to still be going on and kind of new conflicts emerging. I'm really interested in finding spaces and having dialogues and kind of looking at what is our immediate lived experience. So, of course, the conflict of Northern Ireland has made an indelible mark on my life, and it's really spurred me on to engage in these things. And I think we have a great learning and a great privilege being from Northern Ireland, and we can see kind of the conflict, the type of conflict that characterised our society in the past, emerging the world over. And we have so many lessons and so many people who have been so dedicated to peace building here, that it's a real privilege to come from this space and be able to learn and take those lessons to somewhere like The Hague in the Netherlands and, share that message and that methodology of peace building.
Adam Linton.